I want to preach about the announcements, different announcements get made about certain things. I carry an iPhone usually in my pocket sitting over here. I remember I used to have a Verizon or a Motorola Razor, a flip phone, you know, and my dad, that's what he still uses, and they're getting harder and harder to find. My sister ordered him another one and sending it to dad. He's on her plan, and so I used to have a flip phone, then went to a little slide phone. I know you'll be impressed by this. You'll think I'm in the Secret Service or something. I had a BlackBerry, because a lot of those different departments use those BlackBerries, and then I remember, though, we had Verizon, and it was a long time that they were announcing that the iPhone is coming to Verizon. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to be up with the elite. I'm going to be able to get one of those. And we did eventually, but that was an announcement being made. But that announcement was nothing compared to the announcement that, of course, the angels made, but the angel made to Mary. And I think about these big announcements, and sometimes we'll try to label them as life-changing. And usually they're hardly a blip on the radar screen. They're just something that happens to change slightly after the presidential election. Our president-elect has been announcing different cabinet members and different folks that will head different things, some to the joy of some folks and the disdain of other folks, but they make announcements, but no announcement like that announcement that Jesus Christ was going to come and save us from our sins. I want to preach for a little while about that, and I trust that you'll be blessed. I want you to look, if you would, at Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1. As you find your place there in Luke chapter 1, I did hear this story about somebody going through this old Scottish cemetery, and as he went through this old Scottish cemetery, he found a tombstone that had the etchings on there. Remember me as you pass by, for as you are, so once was I. But as I am, you too will be, so be content to follow me. And the person thought of that, but sometime before that person was in that Scottish cemetery, sometime before they got there, somebody that was a little more smart aleck had come through, because they had taken something and etched, scratched in the bottom by hand and said this: to follow you, I am content. I wish I knew which way you went. So we follow the right people. And so that's, of course, funny, but I'm so grateful that we have the promise of heaven. Well, Luke chapter 1, verse number 26, if you look there, the Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God, unto a city called, city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The announcement. This announcement was the thing that was going to change the whole world. Every prophet that had prophesied up until that time had been looking forward to one of these days when Messiah would come. This wasn't the announcement like you put on Facebook to say, oh, there's a party going here, or there's a retirement event happening here, or there's a birthday celebration here. It's not even the thing about just a baby. We celebrate those things as well. It wasn't an event that was announced to say, oh, this is going to be a wonderful time. No, it wasn't a baby or a new ministry as a pastor or a new job. This was an announcement given to Mary that was going to change the whole world. This announcement would be an announcement to bring peace and joy, because the scripture says that on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so the announcement was going to be that God, the Son of God, was leaving heaven to come. I want you to look at a couple things. In verse number 27, I see the miracle of the announcement. Because you see, and I want to drive home the point to anybody who's in question, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. At the end of that verse says the virgin's name was Mary, the miracle of the announcement. It doesn't take a very deep study in biology to figure out how babies come along, and that's how they've always come along, but and since and before. But this miracle was going to defy all of human biology. It was going to defy everything that everybody knew. And this miracle was going to say that Jesus Christ was going to come, but he was going to come through the pure and wholesome lady named Mary. I see the miracle. You know, we throw that word around a lot. In 1980, many people watched then, but many others have watched since. In Lake Placid, New York, was the Winter Olympics, and there was a young U.S. hockey team that was expected to lose to the Soviet Union. And as those matches went on, and the U.S. had the lead on that last fight on the ice there, and it looked like it was going to be sure that they were going to defend that lead and be the champions. And Al Michaels, a commentator, said in a loud voice, "Do you believe in miracles?" And then he answered his own question, "Yes." And it's called the miracle on the ice. Now, we use that term miracle for a lot of things. It's a miracle that we got this business off the ground. It's a miracle that that team won. It's a miracle that I'm even here because of all the things that happened. And I know what they mean. But truly, the miracle of this announcement was given because this was an impossibility. Sometimes we'll talk about a miracle, and really it was just something you overcame a lot of obstacles to get there. But this miracle cannot happen, could not happen, would not happen. Is it completely impossible? So John the Baptist is 3 months or so from being born. And so his parents are wonderfully blessed to have this baby, but wonderfully working of God, but still not a miracle the way the Lord was. And so this angel goes to this young virgin girl named Mary, and he tells her the miraculous news that she's going to have a baby. Babies are an amazing thing. Whenever they get announced to your house, it always brings joy. But this was not just that. This was a baby that could have no way of getting here. It was impossible, because in verse number 34, Mary says, "I know not a man." Not that I'm not acquainted with men, not that I don't know some and I have them around as my friend group. No, she impossible in the Bible way of knowing, "I know not a man." But Isaiah, back in chapter 7, verse 14 of his prophetic books, knew 700 years before, because the Bible said back then, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel," which is what the group sang about this morning, God with us. Isaiah knew this miracle was coming, and now Mary knows this miracle is coming, and we understand that everybody else could hear the news from Mary, but can you imagine when the Bible says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, can you imagine how much pondering she had to do? Because she, above everybody else, knew that she was going into an impossible situation. This could not happen. Everybody else could have had some doubts, but she was certain. But I look at the miracle of the announcement. But I got to take you this, not only the miracle, but then the fear of the announcement. You say, "Pastor, that wouldn't be scary. That's wonderful." I find that usually the things that we call wonderful when they were happening weren't so wonderful. I got to spend time with Preacher Lassie not too long before he went in the hospital. And we were talking about different things that he'd been through and struggles. And me as a preacher, I said, "Boy, that's exciting, Preacher Lassie. That's wonderful. Did you ever notice that what it's wonderful now was not wonderful while somebody was going through it?" Him having threats on his life and having difficulties wasn't exciting then. It brought a great amount of fear. Look in verse number 29, if you would. The Bible says, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." She goes on further and says in verse number 30, or he says, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary." There's a reason why he said not to be afraid, because she was afraid. "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Maybe you say, "Well, that shouldn't scare you," but it would have. I love the story of A.W. Milne. He was a missionary. And this missionary was in a group called the One-Way Missionaries. They were called that because that's all the way they were planning to go, one way. He served in the New Hebrides Islands, which is below the Solomon Islands, where we support Colton Lee now, but right in that area. But they were called one-way missionaries because as they left, their families weren't planning to see them again. So much so that they packed much of their stuff in wooden coffins because they needed the space to pack their stuff. But then they also stored them over there somewhere because they knew they would need them. And he never returned. He served 35 years. And the main town that he served in there, he's the one you've heard the story about that the natives from that area put on his tombstone. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. And he truly brought the light to that region. But I bring this story up because even though that's a great story to us, can I tell you who that wasn't a great story to? A.W. Milne's family. As he was leaving. Oh, they were excited that he was going. Some of them mocked. But they were excited that he was going. But great fear fell on him as well. And so as I see the fear of this announcement, I see a lady that would have been overcome. But also very fearful because she was human. And all of those human thoughts that you and I have would have been racing through her mind. But how? But how? But what's going to go on next? How am I going to survive? What's going to be there to take care of me? I see the fear of this announcement. I think about people, if we bring it down to a closer level, that right, this church, back in the 1700s, people came across the mountains from North Carolina, leaving what they knew to come to a land that they didn't know what they would find when they got here. To establish churches. Oh, we'll drive from North Carolina and we'll say, well, this isn't too bad, but can I remind you this? They didn't have the highways then. And that would have brought fear on those families. What are we going to find? And of course, right, the Revolutionary War and much other things happening, but a lot of fear would have been there. But I think about the joy that was there, the miraculous aspect and the fear, though, that would have certainly come. But if you look in verse number 31, I want you to see the gist of it today, and that is the power of the announcement. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 33 says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Verse 32, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He should be called Jesus. In verse number 35, he should be the Son of God. To the end of his kingdom, there will be no end. I see the power that's given to that young lady as she's receiving the words about what God's going to do through her. And we don't have to shake and fear about this announcement, but we ought to look up and have awe about this announcement. And we ought to have the power of this announcement in our thoughts as we come into this Christmas season. Because, my friend, what gave Mary hope as she got strength from the Lord then gives everybody in this age hope as well. And not only that, but it also gave hope to the people who lived before she did, looking forward to that Messiah that would one day come. An announcement can make a lot of difference. In 1982, a little town in around about 25 minutes from where we ministered there in Delaware, Ohio, was Marysville. And in 1982, they opened up the Honda plant. They were the first auto manufacturer from Japan to build a plant here. And the announcements went around the area of this plant coming there. Right now, there's about 4,700 people that work at Honda proper right there in Marysville. But there's about 15,000 people that work in Ohio for Honda or a support system of Honda. And when they were making the announcements about there that this is what this is going to do to the economy, this is what's going to change, and these jobs are going to come there, it made a lot of people worried and it made a lot of people happy because these jobs were going to come. And announcements come and announcements go, but this announcement gave much more power than pumping in jobs into an economy. This announcement was what gave us the promise of salvation. And my friend, if you're a believer in this room today, I wanted to just stop for a moment and remind you of what you and I celebrate every Christmas season. When God said in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 22, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That was an announcement to all of mankind that God was doing something to come to where we are because we could not go where he was. Now think about this. This story, we look at it in retrospect and we think, oh, it was a wonderful thing. We think about the stories of Jesus being born in the manger and we think about him growing and we think about him ministering on the Sea of Galilee and we think about him being with the disciples. But before this time, in the minds of people, God would have been distant. Oh, yes, they heard from the prophets. Yes, they had heard. Some people had literally heard the voice of God, and they told other people about it. And they told the stories about Moses leading the children out of Egypt. And they'd known all those things. But in many ways, God was distant. But now, God was going to be with us. John, the apostle, says in 1 John, he says this, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the truth of life. And so for the first time, God was able to be seen, and God came and dwelt amongst men. At Amy's nephew's wedding, they got a picture of our two girls and their cousin, and those three girls are sitting there on the floor of the big lobby of Franklin Road Baptist Church, and on the floor is sitting one of their uncles, 50 years their senior. And so somebody thought it was such a cute picture, took a picture of their older uncle with the three girls. Because whenever somebody from a higher level condescends or comes down to somebody, it's always noteworthy. When somebody who knows extreme amounts of information about a situation and they come and they teach somebody who doesn't know anything, that's noteworthy. When somebody else has a wonderful knowledge and been trained in all medical sciences and all that, and they come and help somebody who doesn't have any idea about that, but they bring their expertise and they spare or they come in and minister help and health to that person, that's a wonderful thing. We love it when people condescend from where they are to where we are. And you know there's a reason why he had to condescend, why he had to come down. Because you say, Brother John, I don't know why we need to do that. Why couldn't we just have some other route? Here's why. Are you ready for this deep truth? We caused the problem. We can't fix the problem at the level we created the problem. To those who get involved in DIY projects, do-it-yourself, home projects, you know what the end of a lot of those DIY projects are? A licensed contractor. And you know what they always say? Why didn't you call me first? You created the problem, and they had to come in and fix the problem. And the power of that announcement that was given to Mary was that he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, and he shall save his people from their sins. So the power is what's given to you today, the power of that announcement. And this morning, I want all of us to realize how important it is. If you're a believer in this room, I want it to get driven down as deep as possible to you and I, the reminder that Jesus Christ truly is, was, and is the virgin-born Son of God. And I'll tell you why in just a moment, why it's so important for us to get that nailed down. But if you aren't a believer in Christ, or maybe you believe in him, but you haven't received him as your personal Savior, then that's the second reason that I've come today. And that is to remind you that Jesus Christ paid for your sins. It wasn't just his good intentions that paid for your sins. It was also his ability, because he was without sin himself. Somebody might come along and say, I want to take care of you. And they have well-meaning intentions, but they can't give what they don't possess. So Jesus came to save us from our sins, and he could do what he promised he would do, but because he was the virgin-born, sinless, perfect, holy Son of God. So if you're not sure that you're saved, I challenge you, my friend, to put your faith in him. But back to those of you that are saved, why is it important that we drive this down like a tent stake, that we're trying to secure an old tent against any kind of winds that blow? So I'm listening to, watching this interview by a pastor of sorts. And you'll understand why in just a moment, why I say it like that. So as they interview this pastor, they ask all kinds of questions about faith and whatnot. But then they get to the virgin-born Savior, Jesus Christ. And this minister says, whether he was or not doesn't really change much in my faith, because I'm still going to be engaged in what I'm engaged in. Can I bring the time out down on us and tell you that if Jesus Christ wasn't the virgin-born Son of God, He can't offer anything more than what you can conjure up. So He had to be of holy birth without the assistance of a human father so that you and I could have the promise of salvation. So our truth of salvation hinges upon who Jesus was. And if Jesus was just a good man that had an earthly father and an earthly mother, then we have got our faith greatly misplaced. But if instead, like the scripture says, when Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? For I know not a man." And the scripture lays it out there. If that's the case, then that miraculous news that turned into the miraculous birth, which turned into the wonderful, horrible, unfortunately grotesque scene on Calvary, and then a burial and a resurrection. So that same virgin-born Christ, Son of God, lived that perfect, sinless life, went to an old rugged cross, buried for 3 days and rose again in victory over death, hell, and the grave. But in many ways, it started when this young lady heard the announcement of this angel that said, "Something big is coming for you." And my friend, we can rest assured this morning that we have the wonderful victory and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because understand, my friend, if the truth of the Bible and the validity of salvation, it all hinges on Jesus being who He said He was. And He said, as the angel announced, He said He was that Son of God. Yes, the Son of Man. Yes, the Son of David. But the Son of God and God the Son. So when Scripture says he should be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Again, all of us love it when somebody comes down from their level to meet where I am. But my friend, that has never played out more than it did some 2,000 odd years ago when Jesus Christ came to this earth. And if you're here this morning and you know Christ is your Savior, would you please just put some ammunition in your arsenal so that you can remind yourself of how basic and how fundamental this truth of the virgin birth of Christ is. And then if you're here this morning and you know about Jesus and you know that He did a lot of good deeds and good works, He did much more than that. He went to the cross to save you from your sins. Sometimes preachers like me, and we mean well, will come to a crowd and we'll say, "Jesus will make you a better husband. Jesus will be what you need to be a better wife, a better family person, a better parent, a better whatever." And that's true. But can I tell you, Jesus didn't come to make you a better person. The Bible says that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That virgin-born Son of God came to die on the cross. He came on a mission of mercy for us. And if you're not sure that you've got Him as your personal Savior, I challenge you this morning to make this day the day that you receive Him. So the miracle, the fear, and the power of that announcement. Wasn't it a wonderful day? It must have been a wonderful day. A scary day, but a very powerful day. And I know that we're all grateful for it. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, I thank You for the time to be in Your house. Lord, here we get to rejoice one more time about a young lady who was not sinless, but who was pure in her living. And the scriptures are very clear about that, how she had lived up till then. And Lord, that's the one that You chose to make the announcement and to be permanently etched in our history, that she be used of You to send Your Son into this world. And folks, as we pray just for a moment, would you just let your mind thank God there for a bit? Would you just let your mind try to absorb how wonderful this news is? That truly Jesus was holy. He didn't have an earthly father. He doesn't have an earthly father, heavenly father. And what that means for you and for me. He came to offer salvation, which is what we could not procure, because our great, 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 however far back to Adam and everybody since, we're the ones that created the problem. And so he had to come in that fashion to provide what we could not attain. Oh, aren't you thankful for it? And now, Lord, I pray for every soul that's in this building and those that are listening. Lord, that today it would become real to us that Jesus Christ truly is the Savior. And if there's one or a few that are not sure that they have taken that step of faith and just received Him as their personal Savior for the forgiveness of their sins, Lord, I pray they do it today. Right there where they sit or right where they're listening, they'd put their faith, their trust, their reliance on you, Jesus. And then to every believer, may we, dear Lord, just take it all in once again of how glorious it is to have you as our Savior. Bless us, I pray, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God's dealing with your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're a believer, but there's something heavy on your heart, and you just want to rejoice about the truth of the gospel message through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not sure that you are saved. You know about Jesus, you've just heard about Him, and probably many, many other times. But in your heart, right there where you're searching yourself, you can't remember a time when you really received, believed on Him. My friend, if that's you, and you're not sure that you've ever put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, today's the day. If you wouldn't mind, we're going to play another verse or two. You just slip out and come. Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure about that. That you've got Christ as your Savior. You say, Brother John, my life needs cleaned up. It doesn't need cleaned up as much as you need saved. Whatever your need is this morning, would you slip out and come? We're in no hurry. Maybe some others, you're saved. You need to be baptized. You've never followed Christ in baptism. You step out and present yourself for that. Maybe somebody needs to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You've been led of the Lord to do that. Would you step out and present yourself for that? Come home, they're playing. Those who are weary, come home. Wouldn't you come this morning? Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, I'd like for you to do a couple things before you leave. I'd like for you to get some of those invite cards. They're right in front of you. Or if you didn't get some, they're around. Take all of them you want. We've got plenty. They won't be any good to us. We want you to use them. And I challenge each of us to make it an endeavor of ours to invite some people. And here's specifically the one I'd love for you to invite them to. Invite them to all of them, of course. But many people will be willing to come to a traditional candlelight Christmas Eve service. And so it's earlier in the afternoon, 4:30. It's earlier so that people can do that and then go wherever they want to do. Would you pray and ask the Lord, Lord, would you show me somebody, some friend of mine, some coworker, some somebody that I can invite to that Christmas Eve service and then do the next step then, have them sit with you, just have whatever you can do to make it easier on them. But then as they come, it'll be about a 40-minute service. From beginning to end, we'll end up with some candlelights, and we'll have a good time. All of it will be explained as they get here, but we'll have some wonderful Christmas carols. We'll have a short Christmas message, and then they'll be leaving, like I said, before 5:15. And so that'll be my commitment to you so that we can get people in here. So be thinking about who we can get here for that Christmas Eve service. And again, if you're able to come on Tuesday evening over to the funeral home to be a blessing to the Bowser family, I know they would appreciate that. But then these others that have lost loved ones in this time, please just remind them of your love. Maybe send some cards, texts, calls, and let's do as the scripture tells us to, bear one another's burden. This is what we can do at this time. So thank you for being in church this morning. God bless you. And I guess we can first tell you, Merry Christmas. A lot of other people be telling you that, but we'll be the first one to tell you as far as that goes. It's December 1st, so 'tis the season. God bless you. You're dismissed.